This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
This is Bright Side Home Theater.
Hey, home theater nerds, welcome to the Bright Side Home Theater Podcast, a podcast that pushes play on your favorite movies and scenes that are just so much fun, and that's what this is all about the fun that we have in our theaters. I'm the host, DJ, and it's week 46 of 2020, counting it down. We're getting there, people. We're getting there. And this week, we have great home theater to feature from Rob D. Can't wait to get to that. I've been looking forward to that ever since he sent it to me because we'll get into that. We'll get into it. And this week's movie is The Fifth Element. And I'm really looking forward to hearing what you guys think of this movie and my review of it because just scrolling through Twitter and social media, this movie doesn't get all the love, and I enjoyed it, but I'm looking forward to hearing what you guys think, too. But first, we've got a bunch to get to today, tonight, whenever you're listening. First and foremost, and this does take precedence over everything else, big news, thankful on Infinite Podcasts. Next week, coming out Thanksgiving Day. I know everybody thought I was going to go with Wonder Woman 1984 coming out Christmas Day, and we'll get to that. But Thankful on Infinite Podcasts is a much bigger event to me because it's coming next week, and I was part of it. So I'm really happy about it. And it's coming on all three podcasts. As I said last week, check out the HT guys, AV Rant, and myself. Click on all of us. Give each of us a listen. You don't have to listen all the way through, but download each one. Give everybody credit. And also, go to YouTube as well. Rob's working hard to get that, you know, all of our voices synced up to. That should be interesting. As Lee Overstreet put out on Twitter the other day, you know, the Hollywood Squares version. All six of us are going to be on screen, so it's going to be fun. I know it was fun. I already went through it. It's a blast. I can't wait for you guys to hear it. Thanksgiving Day, it's dropping, and I've already listened to it a couple of times, so it's fun because I get a couple of words in here and there, but it's fun listening to those guys, fun hanging out with those guys, and it really is an opportunity to be like just hang out with us, and it's just guys hanging out, talking home theater, a lot of fun. Obviously, it's Friday. I'm actually recording this on Friday morning. I got up early so I could watch Mandalorian and then record this because I'm not going to be doing a podcast next week. I made that decision earlier this week. I got a bunch of busy stuff going on. We have the Thankful for Infinite on Infinite podcast coming out. So there'll be plenty of content for you there. So over 2 hours. And then I'll be back the following week with Lee Overstreet. So I wanted to get as much into this podcast as I could this week where I won't be talking directly to you for 2 weeks. So, but I did get an opportunity to watch Mandalorian this morning. Really exciting episode. This, as I'm recording this, this would be episode 4 that I'm talking about. I'm not going to talk spoilers, but if you're following along, you know how big episode 3 was. Well, episode 4 was really good as well, for a different reason. It had a lot of great action, and that's not a spoiler, but there's some really good action, some really great home theater pans in here, some great callbacks, too. I actually want to do some research later and see if they actually use the actual recordings from other movies. You'll be able to pick it out, see what you think. But there's actual callbacks to other movies, lines from other movies in this movie, in this show. But there is a fantastic pan going from front to rear of the Mandalorian flying over you. Like I said, it's not a spoiler. You'll see it. It's awesome. Check it out. If you're not watching this show, I don't know why you even have a home theater if you're not watching this show. One more thing on The Mandalorian. I am not crazy about the black levels in this, series in general. I've gone back. I've watched episode one. I've flipped through, different episodes of that trying to check it. So, my stubbornness is I think you should give me the best possible. And then I want to get that the best possible HDR. I want the contrast to be there. And I just feel like Mandalorian isn't giving it to me. And I finally succumbed. I don't know why I didn't think of this earlier, but it is my stubbornness. Like I know my stuff is all calibrated correctly. I know my Apple TV is putting out the best it can do. I know my projector is doing the best it can do. And so I know what I'm getting is, well, wrong. But, well, if I think that that's wrong, and I do, why don't I put a different setting on my projector? Duh. So I did. And I used some of the enhancement stuff. Greatly improved the picture, and I enjoyed the show even more. I'm actually going to go back and start season two all over again to catch, enjoy it the way it should be with the correct black levels that obviously my projector has to manipulate to get there. Someday, hopefully, we'll be getting the 4K disc of this. That would be awesome. That's the ultimate right there. But I do think the Atmos in this is much better than last year's Atmos. Season 2 has had better Atmos. The surround sound experience is much better. But obviously, the physical disc is the best option, and that is very much what I'm looking forward to. All right, let's get to the elephant in the room here. Wonder Woman 1984. Where are you watching it first? Are you going to watch it at home Christmas Day before you go to the movies? Or are you going to wait and experience it at the movies like my buddy John? We talked over on Brightside Chat about it for probably almost a half hour the other day. Podcast came out on Thursday. If you want to go check it out there, it's literally the first half hour of the show, I think, where we just go back and forth on different ramifications and stuff. But I'll give you a glimpse of it here. I think this has huge ramifications on what's to come in the years, a year from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now. What does this do to the movie going experience? I don't want to get too much into it here. We do talk about this, obviously, next week on with all of the home theater guys. We didn't know about Wonder Woman at the time of our conversation, but we do get into the whole movie going experience. And what does this do for movie theaters or to movie theaters? How are movie theater owners feeling right now? Like I this has got to be crushing to them. But in my opinion, this is huge. I'm very excited for it. And I have done a 180. We'll get into it next week, but I used to think that this was a bad idea. I don't like it. Because I feel bad for the movie theaters, but I think it's time, and it's going to be something that the movie theaters have to adjust to. And we're going to be the benefit of it because they need to do something to attract us. And this Wonder Woman 1984, I think, is going to be the pin on the wall that we point to from, through history going, this was the first movie to really do it. Because can you get a better convergence of situations where we have the pandemic? We haven't had a great movie come out since last Christmas time. We had The Rise of Skywalker. We haven't had a big budget movie hit since then. So we have been waiting and waiting. And now, on a day that is normally you're a captive audience anyways, Christmas Day, people aren't going anywhere. They're spending it with their families. They're in their homes. And you couple that with people don't want to go anywhere, can't go anywhere, depending on where you are now because of the pandemic. What are the numbers going to be? How many people are going to be talking about this? What is social media going to be like? Are people going to be talking? Spoilers, people. What is it going to be like by noontime on Christmas Day? And people will be like, can you believe? Fill in the blank. It's going to be fun. I'm really looking forward to it. It's such a big, big change. And we're all going to experience it. And the people listening to this, we all have home theaters or some semblance of one. We're going to get the best benefit from it. My buddy John wants to go to the theater and see it first so that he gets it in the best possible light and sound and then come home and experience it. I kind of beg to differ. I think even though they're going to have Atmos at the theater and they'll probably have 4K, as of this recording, HBO Max doesn't have Atmos in 4K. But my up conversion in my theater, I still think is going to be better because it's going to be that, you know, more intimate environment, the surround sounds, the pans, everything that's going on, the dialogue is going to be clear. I am going to enjoy it more in my theater. Doesn't mean I'm not going to go because I'm dying to get to the theater, see it again, and then come back, watch it again and do, you know, this is going to be fun to do an A-B comparison. So much fun going on for us home theater owners. It's such a great time. And if, as I put out on Twitter, if HBO Max can drop 4K HDR and Atmos before then, game changer. Even my buddy John, I think, would be like, all right, I'm going to get up in the morning, open a couple gifts, watch Wonder Woman, then I'll go to the theater and see it. I don't know. I'll have to talk to him, and I will be. I am very, very sure of it. I look forward to it every week over there on the Bright Side Chat. All right, let's get to new Twitter followers this week. I had a big week. We grew exponentially again. We had Axel, Carl, Michael, Craig, Wesley, Kirsten, and Charles. Kirsten, very, very good friend of mine. She's my neighbor, one of my best friends. I don't know why she waited this long to follow me, but I had to call her out on that. Don't even know if she listens, but she did follow the home theater, so I'm happy to have her on board. Welcome, everybody, to the home theater community. Enjoy. Look around. We're having fun. This week's movie recommendations, we have XXX Return of Xander Cage from John M. His quote is, wow, really good movie, but the colors and punch of video and the all over the room Atmos track were amazing. I actually did enjoy this movie. I haven't seen this movie in a while. I don't know if I saw it in Atmos. It was that long ago, but I will have to check that out. I do have it too. And from at WV Brew, we have Creed. And his quote is, fantastic picture. The audio, while only 7.1, not Atmos, has to be the most realistic sounding crowd in final act ever. I only have the Blu-ray, but no Atmos on 4K either. Highly impressed. I have heard that. I have heard that about the realistic sounding crowd event. I actually haven't seen that movie yet. And, but that actually moves it up the list for me. And I actually think I do own that one as well. So, all right, let's get to Twitter and email comments. John M. email, and this is great. He emailed me right away. This was after I did my appearance on the HT Guys with Ara, and I did my top five. And my number one was Gravity. And the Atmos track on that is fantastic, but the only place you can get it is on Diamond Lux. And John is 100% right. He had actually mentioned it to me before. It was in my notes as well for that podcast, but things got going on there and I completely forgot to mention it. You can get the Atmos track on the digital copy on with iTunes. And John had emailed it. I think I even mentioned it on a podcast a while back. I'm not sure. If I didn't, I apologize. But if you want to get the Atmos track, you can get it on iTunes. They upgraded it when they upgraded to 4K and the Atmos. I don't think the Atmos is as dynamic as the Diamond Lux one, as the physical copy, but it is still better than the, you know, the standard version, which is, I can't remember what the track was, if it was DTS Master Audio or not. But yeah, so that's a great place to check out that Atmos track. John M. also, in reply to last week's podcast, we made our downstairs formal living room into my wife's area. She has her space and I have mine upstairs, which is why arcade and machine and the ceiling speakers are no big deal to her. And basically he's replying to me saying like, what a great wife allowing an arcade in the living room. And so he's saying she has her space. She's still a great wife. To do what you did in a real living space, not like, okay, close the door, dedicated room or something. That's a beautiful room. That's a room most people, most anybody would. You have a second room that's just for her. That's fantastic. But for her to allow that, that's just a great. I mean, obviously you guys are compromising back and forth. And that, I mean, I think, to be honest with you, I don't want to get into the, you know, the couch here and say we have great relationships. But for us, any home theater nerds, if you have a, you know, a significant other and you have a theater, clearly you have a great relationship, because this is not an easy hobby to follow along with, as we all know. I feel bad for my wife when her eyes glaze over, but yet I keep making her eyes glaze over every time I start talking this stuff to her. Adriano the Nerd on Twitter. Adriano tweets 87. Another great episode of the podcast. One of my all-time favorite movies. I liked the sequel too. This movie is scene after scene of perfect shots. Zack Snyder is, in my opinion, a master of the part of filmmaking, to say the least. Of this part of filmmaking, to say the least. And I couldn't agree more. I left this out of last week's podcast on purpose because I didn't want to go down that tangent. I don't want to go too far with it now. But I am very much looking forward to the Snyder Cut, because at the entire time watching 300, all I could think is, imagine if you took 300 and had a different director come in and change all the colors, how exciting and how bad would that movie look? You know, or how not exciting would that be? It just wouldn't be the same. And it's just wrong. It's like if you took an artist that's used to painting with a certain brush and you had another artist come in and finish the painting with a completely different brush and a different style, that painting is going to be garbage because it's a mosh of two different visions. And what you have here with, you know, the Snyder Cut is you're going to get his vision. Whether you like it or not, that's up to you, but at least you'll have one vision on the screen. And from what we know of Zack Snyder, it's like his vision is so particular and it's so heavily based in color and contrast and, you know, just the way things, I mean, he's shooting in IMAX because he wants that, the grander scale. It's like, there's so much that goes into it. Nothing, like I said with 300, nothing was done without purpose. So what do you expect with the Snyder Cut? And I'm very excited for it. And just to see, I have some stuff planned for that as well. Early in 2021, I've got an exciting podcast on the burner. On the back burner right now, but we'll be getting that in 2021. So yeah, very excited for that. New listener Craig tweeted from @Craig_Collins. He says, @BrightsideHT, hello DJ. I just found your podcast from the HT Guys podcast where you were on and loved your quick guide to movie scenes to rewatch. I had to have more, so I'm now going through all of your old podcasts. Thanks for the podcast. You're very welcome, Craig. I hope you enjoy them quickly. And we've been evolving over time. So any ideas you have, you're new to the podcast, any ideas, any things you'd like to see, let me know. We'll see if we can incorporate that. Thank you for listening. Clara B @ClaraBRussells on Twitter said, I like the way you say movies. Okay. I don't know how I say movies. That's pretty funny, but thank you very much, Clara. That's cool. That is really cool. All right. New comment from, here we go, people. This is actually on the website. Apparently Clara might like the way I say movies, but M. Risneys, which that's not how you say his name, doesn't like the way I say his name. Here we go. I'm going to read this verbatim, so hopefully I get his name right. And this is all on the website. He goes, I thought the candy example would clear it up, but alas, Risneys, Riz, and that's how I say it. I'm interjecting here. Sorry. I have a buddy named Riz and I call him Riz. So that's why I've known him for almost 40 years. And so when I see R-I-S, which is actually how you spell his name, I think, but anyway, whatever. But that's why it's easy for, it just comes off my tongue easier, Riz. So I apologize. pronounced like Reese, as in Kyle Reese from Terminator. Ness, pronounced like Ness, as in Elliot Ness. So you have Reese Ness. Basically, I was referring... Now, I hope I hit that right. So we have Reese in Kyle Reese from Terminator. And it's funny when he said that, because when I started reading it, before I got to the Kyle Reese, I was like, oh, Kyle Reese from Terminator. And then he said it. So we all have the same minds here in home theater land. So Reese Ness. You get that? Reese Ness. I need that bouncing ball. Reese Ness. So we have M. Reese Ness. Reese Ness. Okay. And then he goes on to say he was referring to the Atmos track on Soul. He clarified on the different tracks that he likes and didn't like in Star Wars, and how they, I had mentioned last week that they weren't, he was saying that he wasn't enjoying them as much, but he does go on to say that he's only streaming. So he's only going off the iTunes copies. And I will say I have had different conversations with different listeners about streaming issues. I believe I had one with Steve George. I can't even remember what the movie was, but I was raving about one scene, and he said, no, that sounded like junk. And I think we went back and forth. It might have actually been a bandwidth thing for him over there in England, that the bandwidth wasn't coming through, so he wasn't getting the proper signal. So it's very tough to criticize when you're getting a digital copy through the internet. You never know. It could be that day. It just could be that copy. I actually think I always go back to this for bad versions of audio or whatever, but Ragnarok and the actual digital copy is a little bit better than the physical media. But when you have the physical media, that's what I go by. I very rarely would I even do a comparison, unless something just came out or something. I'd be like, oh, check this. The digital copy is pretty close, but the physical media is always, always far better to me anyways. You get a much better dynamic range. That's what's meant. It's like, if it's a bad pressing, well, then that's a bad pressing. And like Ragnarok. But it with a digital media, it's really tough to compare, because there's so many, you know, factors at play. What's your streaming like? What's the player you're using? Are you using Fire Stick? Are you using Apple? Are you using this? There's so many other things. And whereas physical media, if you have your decent 4K player with this, we should be all on the same page. So, but to each his own. And what I would say is, if you're used to digital, then stay with that, because that's your platform. I'm not saying you have to upgrade to get better. I'm saying this is what you're living with, and this is what you're experiencing. And it's still great. It's far better. A 4K with Atmos on digital is better than 1080p and, you know, master audio most of the time. You know, go with that. That's great. And that's what we have. And a lot of people are using that as their new media centers. It makes sense. I know the HT guys do that. So that's great. Okay. Moving on. Dalton on Twitter at @BrightsideHT. Thanks for the mention on your podcast. We're kind of neighbors, Northern Rhode Island here. Always good to see a fellow home theater enthusiast with a great podcast. And so I DM'd him right away, because I live very close to the border of Rhode Island, and we ended up having a very long conversation. It was probably a 10-minute conversation, but through DM, it took us all day. And it turns out, I won't get into all of the specifics, but we literally went to high school in the same town. We graduated the same year, two different high schools. We know the same people, and we had this great conversation that literally went back to us talking about our childhood friends. And the quick gist of that is, like, how funny it is that we haven't seen our childhood childhood best friends in like 30 years, but yet I'm meeting people from Europe, I'm meeting people from Australia, I'm meeting people from all over the world, all over the country, and here I am getting put in touch with somebody who literally I could probably throw a rock at. And that's how I met him, the same way I would meet, like, Steve in England, or Adriano in Australia, or, you know, or Rob over in Canada on the other side of the continent. It's all of these people coming together and somebody I could probably throw a rock at. But I won't, Dalton. I won't throw a rock at you, buddy. All right. Dalton also came in this morning with a tweet at Brightside HT. Thanks for the 300 review. One of my favorite movies. I have the HD DVD and original Blu-ray release. Now I have ordered the 4K. I am sorry. I'm causing people to spend money, but that is very flattering. I love it when people say that. I don't get anything for it. Obviously, this is, we do this because we love it. I'm glad you enjoy that movie. I've always loved that movie. Saw it in the theaters, as I said last week. So can't wait for you to get the 4K and check that out, because the HDR is fantastic on that. All right. That should bring us, hopefully I got to everybody. If I didn't, I apologize. But that brings us to this week's featured theater. I put it up on the website yesterday. I didn't announce it. And I actually didn't announce it for a reason, because this is the first one that I actually, I talked about a week ago or so, or maybe 2 weeks ago. I said I was looking forward to this, but this is one that, I don't know, I kind of wanted it to be a surprise, because when I read this email, I read the email before looking at the pictures, and the shock that I got from going from his description, and I'm going to read the email in a second, to what you see on screen. It was just such, I wanted you guys to experience that, but it's kind of impossible, because all you have to do is go to the website and go, there they are. So anyways, so Rob D emailed me like a month or so ago with his home theater. And his email says, been listening to the podcast from about the start and really love it. I'm obsessed with movies and my theater, but more on watching movies than the equipment. So your format is perfect for me. When I built my shop a couple of years ago, I dedicated the back 15 feet, it's 15 feet by 32 feet by 12 foot ceilings, as our flex room. It serves as my office, gym, and theater. It's currently a mess due to redoing my office. It's definitely a work in progress and will eventually finish the top and texturing, trim, and paint, along with building a media cabinet. Most of the work, including the building the shop, was done by me, so it takes some time. For the screen, he put in quotations, I had my drywaller smooth that area of the wall, and I mixed three paints, found the formula online, and painted it. It is roughly 200 inches diagonal. My projector isn't even HD, but I think it looks pretty dang good. Equipment-wise, the only upgrade I want to do is a 4K projector eventually. I have an Onkyo receiver that feeds two subs, two ceiling speakers, two fronts, two sides, and two rears, and use an Xbox One for my disc player and streaming along with PS4. I'm not much of a gamer, but I thought Doom looked incredible on it when I tried it. I have a few more movie posters I need to build frames for to get up, and I have been getting into Legos this year and displaying those in the theater as well. In the summer, we can also open the garage door on the back wall and watch while sitting around the fire. Then he goes on to say, keep up the great content. I'm trying. And all of these theaters being submitted helps me keep up that great content. You guys providing this is awesome. Keep these coming. If you would like to have your theater featured, please submit to brightsidehometheater@gmail.com. You can email me the pictures in a description, and we'll put them up there and we can talk about them, and everybody gets ideas. Please, as I say every week, please leave comments to these guys, because everybody, and ladies, everybody, you know, we work really hard at our stuff, and it's a passion of ours, and we love to get comments and ideas. And like I said, I'm getting ideas from people. I'm sure everybody else is too. Like, you want to add that to your theater. And so, okay, let's move along here with Rob D's shop theater. We have the description. We know what the equipment is. Let's get to that first picture. And I posted this first picture on purpose, and it just looks like a garage. And when I read it, I was picturing a garage in a home. I thought he built a garage in, one car garage bay, which I believe Steve George's is a one car garage bay, I believe. And that's what I was picturing, and, you know, with, and kind of being a mess. And then this first picture is, it's kind of just that. He's got some gym equipment in the back. You see his office in the left corner here. You got wires coming out of the wall, shelf on the right side with some, you know, some cool stuff up there. Can't really make it out. I like that American flag on the wall there. That's pretty cool. But yeah, it's basically, it looks like, you know, like if you moved a storage facility, really. And I am trying to play this down because we're going to get to the next picture. Now we go behind all of the stuff being stored in there, which is the couches and stuff. But, and we look at that front wall and you're like, okay, now I'm seeing, all right, I see the overhead speakers here in the ceiling. You got those two. You see the lights there, but you see that gray wall. And I got to be honest with you, I was very skeptical. I'm like, how could, because I want the best possible. And I'm like, I've always heard like, oh, you paint it, blah, blah, blah. What's it going to be like? And I'm like, no, I'm like, and then you go to this next picture. I mean, the room looks great. Don't get me wrong. This painted wall, and it's a little rough at the bottom and stuff with the paint. It's like, it is, it's that rough thing. And it's, you got Braveheart on the wall. That's great. I love the posters. He's going to have more posters. But okay, now let's get to this next picture. Now we're sitting outside and you're like, oh, okay, that looks pretty good. It looks like a nice bright picture. It's dusk outside. Got a little fire going, the chair set up. It does. It looks like a lot of fun. Then you go to the next picture. Man, look at that picture. Look at this room in the dark. Look at that stadium. It's like you're there. This is, I was blown away. The framing of this, it's awesome. I mean, the room even, it looks a little cleaner. Is that a Jaws blanket or something on the couch I see there or something? But I am blown away by this room. Then you go to the next picture and you see the paint is still a little rough at the bottom there. But look at the picture on the screen. It's gorgeous. This room, then you pull back to the next picture and you have Doom, and it just looks awesome. And it's 200 inches. It's got to be such an experience. Your entire front wall is your screen. That is awesome. Unreal. Completely blown away. Little Santa there under the D in Doom. I like that. That's pretty cool. Completely blown away. And then the last picture here, we have Star Wars and the back of an Imperial cruiser, and what an image having that, you know, the letterbox, the framed out like that, and taking up the entire screen. It's fantastic. And I love it. I absolutely love it. It's awesome. Like I said, I am completely blown away by this because for multiple reasons. Is it 4K? No. He says it's not even HD. Is it just a standard projector or what? But that's not what it's about. When you get that, you're going to do that upgrade, and that's going to be fantastic for you. But look at these images. Look at how much of a environment you've created here. I absolutely love this. I can't say enough. I've been blown away because of what he did with what he had. You know, it's like you can have, if you have a dedicated room in your home and you build a theater and you have the best and you make it the best of the best, well, that's one thing. But to take an environment like this and turn it into this, this is like when I am blown away when people do this in their living room. You know, talking about John's last week, how that's like literally a living room with a video game system in it. And it's what people are doing to their environments and incorporating this movie theater into their environment so that when the lights go down, they get to experience what they experience at the movies. And this is just another example that where somebody took something that normally you would just, before you open that garage door, you'd be like, oh, I got a movie theater in here. And people have no idea what they're in for. Just like when you tell people, when you come into your home, if you have a living room home theater, and be like, oh, I have a home theater in my home, and they see it and they're like, oh yeah, really? And then they walk into your living room and they're like, oh wow. They're blown away because they're not used to seeing a living room like that. So it's unreal, unbelievable. Great job, Rob. Please send, as you add more stuff to this, as you upgrade and do your thing, which you're fantastic craftsman, I can't wait to get more. Thank you. Thank you very much. That will be it for this week. We're going to get into Fifth Element now. Really excited for this. As I said earlier, can't wait to hear what you guys think about it. Can't wait for you to hear what I think about it. So without further ado, let's play the trailer and we'll get into Fifth Element.
Every 5,000 years.
Remove the shield.
When the three planets are in eclipse, the black hole, like a door, is open. Evil comes, spreading terror and chaos.
There's nothing that can stop this.
There is only one thing.
Perfect.
The Mondo Chiwan have in their possession the only weapon to defeat evil. Four elements. Gathered around a fifth.
Hello.
Corbin, sweetheart. You got broken fingers, you can't punch my number?
Hi, Mom.
Welcome, Mom. Have a nice day.
Major Dallas, you've been selected for a mission of the utmost importance.
What mission?
Save the world.
Is that thing solid?
Unbreakable.
Good. Where are the stones?
I don't know. And even if I did know, I wouldn't tell somebody like you.
Nowhere else to go.
And you can find that trailer in the show notes or on the website underneath the notes for the episode. Always link the trailers there so you can check those out. But this movie is so much fun. And to be honest, I'd forgotten how much fun it was. I love this movie back in the day. I owned this on Laserdisc, owned it on DVD, owned it on Blu-ray. Now I have the 4K. And I haven't seen this in a while. And to be honest with you, I had forgotten what the story was about. I knew that it was a roller coaster of special effects and sound, but I'd forgotten really what the story was and what the Fifth Element was. So I was kind of, I'll get into more of that and spoilers at the end when I summarize, but the roller coaster ride, the special effects, the picture, for instance. Okay, let's go with the picture first. I'm going to take a quote from the movie. Some very good words begin with V. So, in a word, vibrant. This movie is vibrant in costumes, vibrant colors, a vibrant story. I mean, the entire, every scene is just like jumps off the screen. It's everything is bigger than life, larger than life. The characters are larger than life. The costumes, just, it's just an insane world. It's supposed to be set in the future and 300 years, I believe, something like that. And just everything just pops off the screen, from the orange tank top that Bruce Willis wears to the planet Earth in one of the opening scenes that we'll talk about in a second. How, the blue and how vibrant the blue was on that planet Earth. just unreal. But I mean, also another word, it's not a V word, but flamboyant, this entire movie. And it's not really leave your brain at the door, but obviously they go for a lot of special effects here, a lot of CGI. Some of it maybe in 4K can get a little bit wonky at times, but that's the part where I say, you know, suspend your disbelief for a little bit. Have some fun with this movie, because between the 4K HDR picture and one of the most dynamic movies from beginning to end for audio, it's up there with like a Lucy that just, it just assaults you. But this one does it, I believe, in a more creative way. It uses the score, it uses the soundtrack, it uses special effects, it uses everything that they can have in their basket of tricks for sound. You get it, and you get it creatively. There's reverb, there's echo, there's all sorts of pans and swoops and swooshes all throughout this movie, even in some of the quietest scenes. When I get into the spoilers, I'm going to break down some scenes, and there are quite a bit. But it's hard to go through this movie and just pick out a scene here or a scene there. Because as I was going through the second time and I'm trying to pick my scenes, I ended up just sitting and watching the entire movie again and just getting to the, you know, the timestamps that I wanted to get to. But in between, I'm like, ooh, here's another one. I could do this. There's just so much to take in, whether it be, you know, audibly or visually throughout this movie, that whether you like the digital effects and the CGI, or even maybe not the story, but if you're a home theater fan and you don't own this one, I've been saying that a lot. I didn't say it for Sleepy Hollow, obviously, but this one here is really just, it has got so much stuff in it that you can just sit and enjoy and pick apart. It's just a home theater dream. I really don't know what else to say other than I really recommend picking this up. I don't think you'd be disappointed. There's so much. I got to get that popcorn popping because we have quite a bit to get through. I'll try to be quick about it, but that's not what it's about. This is about the fun, and there is so much fun in this movie, and it's outrageous fun. It's just a lot of fun, and I'll have my quick little summary at the end as well on the meaning of the movie. So, oh boy, look out for that. All right, popcorn's popping. Here we go. Spoilers. Okay, opening scene. We get some really nice bass groans right off the bat, and then what sounds like pages flipping on the sides of your room, on the side channels, like, but you like how I did that? That's supposed to be, I guess, the pieces flying by, which you saw in the end of the trailer there. That was that scene. But also, it's a beautiful 4K HDR picture of space, and then it pans over to the blue earth, and it starts to tilt to the side, the earth anyway. And then a ship approaches from what begins on the right before, on the right side, it comes in down the side of your room. And then we go down to the desert on Earth. And this is the probably only realistically non-flamboyant part of the movie. And you're inside like a tomb type place in the desert. And the detail here and the colors are so much more vibrant than what I remember from the 1080p version. The shadow detail is especially more evident. Look inside the hooded character's face. Like when he first comes around, he's the one that's going to poison the archaeologist that's brushing away at the wall there. Look at his, when they first comes around the corner and his hood is kind of over his forehead and his face is darkened. In the 1080p version, there's much less detail I found. And the 4K and the HDR, it's like his face looks brighter, looks a lot nicer, looks much, much better, much more detail. Also, I also like the echo of the dialogue. It really felt like you were inside that tomb, really made your room feel like it was made of stone. Jumping to 6 minutes and 20 seconds, they're here. Cool bass rumble that you can feel in your seat. The change in lighting was nicer, too. You saw, like, you had that, I can't even remember the little kid's name. He kept shouting it, light, but the light got brighter, so really nice there. Big upgrade, I thought, over the 1080p. The brighters, you got a better contrast, obviously, with the HDR, brighter highlights. And the room, you know, filled with the score, which that's going to be throughout this movie, really. And the little lights on the aliens really pop, too, as opposed to the 1080p. So, like, you have those alien, metal alien creatures coming in, and they have those, you know, marker lights. So, you know when they're taking a left or a right, I guess. And those blink, or I don't even know if they were blinking, but they just looked like they were just way more vibrant. Really popped off the screen a little bit more. At 8:39, we have the tomb doors, and as most of you know, one of my favorite is the doors sliding open, and the doors, the vibration in the floor, too. So the doors slide open, we get a great pan from the center of the room, front center, and then it goes, slides open to both the left and the right with real nice vibrating bass in your seat. And it's as if you're the front of your room is sliding open on your floor, and you can really feel that. It's really cool. At 12 minutes and 50 seconds, taking shape, the evil that is, that's coming, that planet sized thing, the evil is taking shape, and the ball explodes right at you. There's a really cool bass rumble accompanied with the high scorching, screeching sounds that really make it a great dynamic experience. I also like the HDR here. There's a smooth texture to the black of space here that looked really cool. The stars and the highlights really popped as well. So adding to that texture, because like I said, like, it's not just the black of space. There was a pattern to it that looked really nice amongst those stars. At 22 minutes and 40 seconds, we have space attack. In this scene, the good guys, that's those creatures, the metal alien creatures that we had at the beginning, coming to save Earth, are attacked and destroyed by the alien fighter ships, which are those ugly shape-shifting creatures. What I found really interesting here is, and this is throughout the movie, is how the score really fills the room and occupies most of the attention, but you could still make out the directional sounds and pans going on from either the ships flying by or the guns firing down the sides of the ship. And eventually the ultimate destruction of the ship, you get the explosion and everything. But making this scene a very stylized space battle, and we're going to get a stylized hand-to-hand combat scene coming up later, but like, this entire movie is stylized. It's like there's this space battle here with the score and everything. It was almost like it was choreographed. And I'm going to say the same thing when I talk about the hand-to-hand combat. But it was a really cool way they did that. And it's almost like it reminded me a little bit of Moulin Rouge, in that it used the music throughout this movie to accompany the action in a way that was a lot of fun, and it really made your room come alive, because the score or the soundtrack, whatever music was playing, was actually moving around the room as well. Different instruments popping up in different places. But of course, you still have the directionality of the action that's going on in the scene. And this space attack was probably the first example of that. At 24 minutes and 37 seconds, blacklight. Check out the spectacular HDR on this scene. It's basically a blacklight special. All the beautiful glowing edges, the beautiful glowing white. It's just a really quick scene, but I mean, in HDR, I was like, whoa, that's nice. That's pretty cool. And how do you not have that in this movie, which has pretty much everything else that's going to either explode off the screen or out of your speakers? At 29 minutes and 15 seconds, the growl. I just really like this. This is where Lilu first comes to, and she's looking through the glass, and she's looking out the tops of her eyes, much like Leonidas last week, and she's angry. But you get that really, really I don't want to say subtle because it was there, but it was very low, very deep growl. It wasn't loud, but it was, I mean, almost like you could feel it, but you couldn't feel it. But you felt like if it went just a little bit more, you'd feel it in your chest. It was just a really nice deep growl. It was really cool, really animalistic. And then moving to 30 minutes and 30 seconds outside. So Lilu escapes outside from the air shaft and you're just flooded with pans from left to right, overhead, right to left, all over the room. And of course, there's still score filling the room as well. And right there, it, for instance, the scene that I just talked about, you go from the growl at 29 minutes and 15 seconds, and it's a minute and 15 seconds later, and I'm talking about outside in these nice pans. But that minute and 15 seconds in between when she's going down that shaft, there was a ton of stuff in there I could have talked about. It's this entire movie. It's like you almost feel like, I mean, it wouldn't be much fun if I just said, start the movie. You're going to love it. All right. Have a great week, everybody. Go push play. But this movie really is like that. There is so much in between each and every one of these scenes. It's just a blast to listen to. It's funny because I sat down to do my review after watching the movie and I'm like, this is going to be a chore because I knew how much work, how much I had to get into it, but it didn't take long. I was just like, I loved it. And then I just sat there and I just kept going over and thinking more and thinking more. So much fun. Okay, back to the movie. At 32 minutes and 20 seconds, dove off. And this is where Lilu dives off the ledge. And here it's really cool effect as the police car swoops down after her. But the swooping from center rear, like right behind you, comes up over your right shoulder, up above you a little bit, and then down in front of you, down right, disappearing like center screen, right under the screen. It really felt like that because that's pretty much what the car did. And the sound, I mean, whether it's, you know, your brain tricking you that that's what actually happens, but it really felt like that really nice effect. And of course, you get the nice pans as she dives down and she passes by a few things before eventually landing in Bruce Willis's cab. At 38 minutes and 20 seconds, we have attack detection. The police absolutely unload on Bruce Willis's cab as he passes by. It was like, I don't know, 6, 12 cabs. I don't know. But the sound around your room as the machine guns just open fire sounds like every inch of your room is being hit with gunfire. Really, really enveloping. Made you want to like kind of cover the sides of your heads to protect yourself. 47 minutes and 30 seconds, the priest's home. This is one of those subtle scenes I really like. We are at the priest's home, and it's a dialogue-heavy scene, but check out the pans down the sides and across the front of your room. You have to listen closely, probably at reference level. It's really subtle, but makes you feel as though the traffic is flying around just outside of your room or outside of your home because it's there. And it's subtle, but it's there and it's not consistent. So it's kind of easy to pick out if you know what you're listening for. And it's kind of cool. This is one of those scenes that, you know, it's a dialogue heavy scene, like I said, but this is for us. This is for the home theater fan. This is for people that do want to pay attention because most people don't even know this stuff exists. They just go on to the next scene and they're watching on their regular TV and oh well. I really enjoy that stuff. I like it when they do the fun stuff like that for us. 49 minutes and 10 seconds, arms deal. Apparently, Gary Oldman is playing the role of Tony Stark 300 years in the future. Here, he's demonstrating a shipment of guns for the alien buyers, those shapeshifter guys that I was talking about earlier. The directional sounds in this scene and strong, deep, distinct bass with each round of fire. Even when he goes into full auto mode, this scene is so much fun. Makes you want to cover your ears, definitely, because this, when he's in using like the machine gun mode and just firing away, really, really nice bass, deep with each shot. And the echo effect is really nice too, whether it's the dialogue or with the weapons that as he changes each weapon too, and he goes to the different, like the flamethrower and the poison darts and everything, and then the freeze. But it's really cool, making you feel like, or putting you right into that tunnel with them. And then that progresses right to 52 minutes and 36 seconds, the red button. This is the explosion after the alien hits that unknown red button. And the explosion starts at the center. It sprawls out to the right and grows instantly, filling the room from front right, quickly moving down the right and filling the rear channels before moving to all the channels, including overhead. Really filling the room really quickly. You might have to watch it a couple times, but you'll see what I mean, how it grows. It just like shoots to the right, but then it wraps around you and fills the room really quick. Much like that explosion really would. It was pretty cool. Really good effect there. 1 hour and 7 minutes and 18 seconds terminal. This is a bus terminal or they're about to go on their trip. He's won the vacation. The ambient sounds and the score in this bus terminal, people moving all around, people talking all around you. Feels like the air is moving as well. There's just a very spacious feel as if your walls don't exist. Really, really fun scene. 1:11:36, Corbin Dallas. Chris Tucker absolutely steals the show here. His performance combined with the insane soundtrack and audio manipulation makes pretty much every scene he's in worth the price of this disc. The reverb in his voice contrasted with the reverb in Bruce Willis's voice when he speaks into the mic or whatever that stick was. Also, check out at exactly 1 hour, 12 minutes, and 2 seconds. It's when he first sticks the mic in Bruce Willis's face, and Bruce Willis doesn't know what to say, and you can actually hear crickets. And it sounds like, in my room, it sounded like it came from right over my head, a little bit in front of me on the right. Like, almost like if I took my right hand and put it up, it's like that's where the cricket would be. Really, really cool. But also this scene, the sound moving smoothly around the room with lots of weird, discrete sounds. Just so much fun. And we're going to get into more of this with Chris Tucker. Actually, any scene he's in when he starts, the reverb they use and the way they use the room and the music and the bass in that music, it's just a blast. At 1 hour, 17 minutes and 6 seconds, reggae. Really cool set of scenes here that have the sound moving all around the room. The reggae track bouncing around the room, that bass I was talking about, really pumping through the room here. Plus all the different scenes bringing different sounds and atmosphere to your theater. Very sharp bass notes, like I said, making this scene a lot of fun. And I'm having a hard time trying to pinpoint or describe any one thing. There's so much going on sonically, all wrapping up with a great explosion at 1:18:40. And towards the end of the scene, check out Gary Oldman's twitch under his right eye. That's just some really incredible acting, like when you do that. And I think I said the same thing about Chadwick Boseman in one of the scenes at the end of that movie, 21 Bridges. He had a scene similar where he did something with his face, and you're just like, that's amazing to me. And it really just pops off the screen in something like this where you're just so taken in by everything around you. And then you notice something like that and you're like, wow, that's incredible. At 1 hour, 20 minutes and 6 seconds, phone call. Gary Oldman is on the phone with the evil alien voice, and the depth of that voice is really cool. Fill in your room, but another one of those bassy voices you can practically feel. Really a lot of fun. At 1 hour, 25 minutes and 13 seconds, voices. Just an insane use of overheads and the entire room to deliver the DJ-like voice in different patterns and levels of reverb. I'm not even sure what it all makes 100% of sense, but it's just so much fun, and it brings you right to another spectacular Chris Tucker scene as he brings you into the auditorium. And at 1 hour, 26 minutes and 30 seconds, we have that talented voice as Chris Tucker calls it, and he says, I have a recording of her talented voice. And right in the middle of all this, we get a moaning woman, and it circles, the sound of the moaning woman circling your room counterclockwise. I never even knew I needed that in a movie, but here we are. it was just so cool. It's like I listened to that a couple of times for research effects, of course. At 1 hour, 27 minutes and 54 seconds, the opera singer. They just start at 1 hour, 27 minutes and 54, like I said, and that's where she starts singing. And I can't recommend enough watching this scene through its entirety. I mean, obviously, like I said at the beginning, you should watch this movie from beginning to end anyways. But this scene here, just put this on, and the sound of her voice in the spaciousness of the room of like an opera house or whatever that would be. It was translated so well, and they duplicated it. It made my room feel bigger. It made my room feel like an opera house. I felt like I was sitting in that large room, and the singing was just incredible. So deep. And I don't mean deep as in bassy. I just meant it was so full. It was so good. Of course, there's other scenes taking place. As the scene progresses, we go in, like, the singing continues and is playing over some other scenes. And adding those sound effects under her singing, which I thought is such, like I said earlier, how they took the music and they integrated it with the special effects of sound and stuff. And they overlapped this movie in such a creative way. Eventually, this scene transitions into that incredible hand-to-hand combat scene that I had mentioned earlier, where Lilu's taking on those alien creatures. And it even, like, the opera singing progresses and matches with the choreographed music that goes along with the fight as well, all blended together seamlessly. Like I said, it's like kind of like Moulin Rouge, how they blended all of this together, and it's a really quite a piece of art. I'm very impressed by it. I've watched this many times, but not with this kind of an eye and not with this kind of an intent. Usually I just go, like most people, like, oh, okay, that was cool. Now I've got to put out a podcast about it, so I need to say more. So at 1 hour and 33 minutes and 29 seconds, we have overhead gunfire. I think this is like a homage to Die Hard in the scene where they shoot at John McClane. He's up in the air vents and they shoot the machine gun. They don't shoot as many times, but they shoot the machine gun at the air vents. But yeah, Gary Oldman unloads and the room is just filled with deep, bassy gunfire, and the sounds overhead are really strong too here, but it does fill the room. You can hear like almost like the ricochets over your head, if you want to call them that, or where they're making impact above you. At 1 hour, 47 minutes and 58 seconds, Hold On, another great explosion that starts at the front left center of the screen and grows very quickly to fill in all around you. So this is when that, you know, Gary Oldman, he finds out the 5 seconds counts down and the whole thing explodes, and you're part of the scene. You're inside the ship with Bruce Willis, very close up on his face. But when that explosion comes at you, it does. It starts at front left center of your screen and just wraps around you really quickly, much like I've never been in the middle of an explosion, but these few scenes in this movie with the explosions, the way it just envelops you, but it does have a focal point to start, is pretty cool. At 1 hour, 55 minutes and 53 seconds, the elements, the HDR and the sounds as each element is activated is really, really cool and kind of really accents this movie really well. The sound burst from the screen to delicately fill in around you as each element that, like, you know, like you'll hear that like twinkles, but it starts at a focal point on the screen, but then you feel like each of those little twinkles particles is going around you in the room. And the HDR really adds to that too, giving you that slight 3D effect there too. It's one of my favorites. So simple, so elegant. I really enjoyed each element being activated. It was really cool. And then at 1 hour, 59 minutes and 2 seconds, I labeled it love because their love activates all of the elements. So you find out the fifth element is love and it saves the world. Just a cool room filling scene with that deep rumbling bass, bells going off. There's there are bells going off around the room, but there's a discreet bell going off at the right front. Eventually, each element retracts back, so that cool sound that we had in the previous scene I mentioned, it's almost like, you know, with everything going on in your room, you can almost feel all of those twinkles or whatever coming back from behind you and then going back to that focal point in front of you, back into each of the stone elements. So, you know, where they were earlier, they were dispersed around you. Now they're coming back around to the front. Really, really cool way to wrap up that movie. And just this movie was just a incredible sonic and visual treat. As the movie was playing, I honestly couldn't remember the point of the story. Like I said at the beginning, part of it was because I was so taken in by the overall experience and just enjoying each scene individually. But after, you know, my multiple viewings, I really enjoy the overall story as well. Love being an actual element is a pretty cool idea, since it's something in life that, you know, it isn't tangible, but guides us every day, like more than even earth, wind, water, or fire. But those are supposed to be like what moves everything. All right, that's enough of me pontificating. Like, that's not what this podcast is about. But I really did like it. I really like the story. So, but that brings me to what's coming up next week. Thankful on Infinite Podcasts, HT Guys, Aaron Braden, AV Rant, Tom, Robin, Lee, and myself. Obviously, I mentioned it before. If you haven't heard it, it's coming next Thursday. And you'll get to hear all of it on Thanksgiving Day, Thursday, Thanksgiving Day. And I'm going to be taking the week off from my regular podcast. I figure getting your, you know, 2 hour plus of me is probably enough on Thanksgiving week. So I'll be back the following week with another sit down home theater chat with Lee Overstreet. And I have something fun and planned. We have something fun and planned. Can't wait for you guys to hear that. We've been chatting back and forth on what we're going to talk about, and it's actually pretty interesting. I'm looking forward to that one. Until then, everybody, thank you so much for this year. Have a great Thanksgiving. We thank you next week as well, but I wanted to thank my listeners before Thanksgiving. Thank you all very much. It's been such an incredible, with everything that's going on in 2020, it's been an incredible 2020 for this podcast. It's grown so much thanks to you guys. I appreciate all the feedback, all the well wishes that I get. I try to get to everybody. If I've forgotten you, I apologize. I try to mention everybody every week, but it's just been incredible. And the response, and without you guys, I sat down a year ago by myself to do this. And now it's like, every week I can't wait to sit down to talk to you guys, because I know I'm not just talking to myself. It's just been great, the growth of this community, and then me being accepted into the home theater community and being part of, like, being friends with the HT guys and the AV Rant guys. It's just been a blast, but I owe it all to you guys. Thank you very much. Thank you for everything. Keep all the comments coming. Keep those submissions for the home theaters coming. We're having a blast. We're going to keep it going. Have a great Thanksgiving. So until then, stay safe. And when in doubt, go push play.
Hey Fred.
This has been a Hey Fred production, with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.